My lesson has already been preached for me in the songs that we have sung and in the scriptures that we've read. If you're not a Christian, these are some of the things that you need to have in your life. If you don't have them, you should try to add them to your life. In Psalms 15, which was read this evening, it's a Psalm of David, and David writes, O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? David's talking about family there. Family lives in a dwelling at a specific place. We are a family here. We are Christians. We're part of God's family. The person that dwells in this family walks with integrity. Integrity is a word that I think about an awful lot. And I do that because I want to be a person that has integrity. I look up the word integrity in the Webster's Dictionary. I see a picture of my grandfather. I see a picture of my father. I'd like my picture to be there too. Webster says that integrity is one who is sound of moral principle. Integrity is uprightness, honesty, sincerity. Basically, it's a person who does what they say they will do. But the scripture talks about integrity too in a lot of different places. In Psalms 24, in verse 4, David describes integrity as he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, has not sworn deceitfully. Has not sworn deceitfully. We think of someone swearing right away. My mind goes to our justice system. You go before the judge, you swear this, you swear that. Or if you're a witness, you swear to the facts that you state. Isaiah also talked about integrity in chapter 33 and verse 15. He who walks righteously and speaks with sincerity, he who rejects unjust gain, and shakes his hands so that they hold no bribe. Doesn't want that bribe sticking to his fingers. He's a man of integrity. He who stops his ears from hearing about bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil. He wants nothing to do with evil, with bloodshed. So this man or this woman walks with integrity and works righteousness. We all know what righteousness is. It's doing that which is right. Speaks truth in his heart. We know people who speak truth, but that truth is not always from the heart. It's a very important thing for a Christian, for a person who fears God. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. We know what slander is, verbally spreading false statements harmful to one's reputation. Libel is slander in a written form, so there's a difference there. As we walk about our life, we want to make sure that we are not slandering one another. And a reproach. A reproach is bringing shame and disgrace upon a person or blaming a person for a fault. You don't do that to a friend. You don't do that to your brother. To me, this is kind of in a public way. Because we are to go to our friend our fellow Christian and remind them if we think that they're doing something that they shouldn't be. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised. A reprobate is a despicable person. A reprobate is one who is undisciplined. He's also rejected by God. We are to have discipline in our lives, to follow God's standard. So on the other hand, though, we are to honor those who fear the Lord. We are not to put our money out at interest. So does that mean if you have money in the bank, when that check comes with the interest, are we supposed to turn that away? No, we have to keep in context here. The Jew was not to charge his family member, his fellow Jew, interest on money that was loaned to them. It's just mighty fine for them to loan money to a Philistine and take interest. So we need to keep that in mind. It's kind of confusing there sometimes. So we don't put our money out at interest to a friend, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. Now, who would take a bribe against the innocent? A despicable person, a reprobate would. And unfortunately, we see that happening a lot in our society today. He who does these things will never be shaken. So are the words of God through David. Now, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, pretty much the same thing if you were listening to the readings before. Verse 25, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. That's a direct quote from Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. We can be angry, and sometimes we should be angry at some of the things that we see. We must be careful not to sin. And there, that is a direct quote from Psalms 4:4. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. It give you ulcers. Bring strife into your life. And also it's sinful if we do that. So we must try very hard not to take our anger as far as we can go with it. We need to get rid of it as quickly as we can. This really speaks to me here too. In verse 27. Do not give the devil an opportunity. And that's exactly what you do if you go to bed and you're still angry. Or if you keep that anger with you for the next day and the next day. If you remember a fault against a brother, or anyone for that matter of fact, you're giving the devil an opportunity. And I think that's something we don't think about very much. Because if we're angry, we're justified, aren't we? In our own minds. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Let him who steals steal no longer. Well, we know we shouldn't be stealing in the first place. But maybe this person is stealing food just to survive. But Paul writes, rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good. And there is a reason for that. Labor is good. We provide for ourselves. But Paul carries it further than that. In order that he may have something to share with him who is in need. Do we do that? Is that one of the reasons that we get up in the morning and go to work? I know when I was much younger, that wasn't the reason. I was focused on taking care of my family, providing that house and property and that bank account and life insurance and car and on and on and on. Wasn't thinking a whole lot about my fellow man. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And we know that we are saved by the grace of God. That gift that we read about in Romans 6, in verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That gift is salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you're not a Christian, you know the characteristics that you should have if you are to be one. And you know that salvation is available to you, as is stated in Acts 2 and 38. And before I leave, I would like to reread Psalms 51, verses 10 through 12. This is David's plea for us, for his fellow man. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit, that I will teach transgressors, and so on and so forth. As a Christian, we should do that. Let's remember the plea of David. Let's pray that Jesus Christ would dwell in our hearts every day. If you are not a Christian, the opportunity is available for you right now to come and name Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior as we stand together and sing.